Right. Okay, the boy said today's daf is daf Yud Beis. We're holding the top line on the Omid. V'ha dekvarim u'dekrachen ein metam menegoyim. V'tanyo. What is this all about? You'll recall yesterday we had at the end of yesterday's blot a stira of two brises. One brises says that a Beis HaKnesses is metame benegoyim. Metame benegoyim means that if you see this white blotch all over the wall, there's a din of tumas negoyim on a Beis HaKnesses on a shul. Yet there's another brises that said just the opposite, that a Beis HaKnesses does not have a din of negoyim. That it's not metame. It's a chasira. Is it metame? Is it not metame? And the Gemara gave three answers to this kashya. Answer number one is it's a machloikis between Rav Meir and Rabbanan. Where's this Meir and Rabbanan? Rav Meir and Rabbanan really not arguing about a Beis HaKnesses sheyesh bo nega tzaras, but rather they're arguing about a case of a Beis HaKnesses, whether it requires a mezuzah. Mm-hmm. Where Rav Meir says, even though it's not a private bias, but it's a Beis HaKnesses. It's still a bias. It does require mezuzah. And the Chum say, no, it's got to be a private dira. Therefore, you put it. So the same Machloike says, Imon, we got the Negoyim. Shteitin Pasuk, Uva Shaloi HaBayis. Does it have to be Miyuchad to a particular individual? Or Lav Davka, because it says, Bebeis Eretz Achuzas Chem. Everybody. And therefore, even a shul has a din of Negetz Ras. That was one teretz. Second teretz is both brises go according to Rabbanan. This shul is talking about that it had a beis dira, that the Shamas HaKnesses lived in the shul or lived in a room adjacent to the shul. So therefore, just like it's mechuyev b'mezuzah, it also has a din of a private bias, and therefore you could have a nega teras the beis HaKnesses. The other one is talking about there was no beis dira; it was just for just a shul. Then there's no din of mezuzah, and there's no din of negat saras. And the final teretz was at the top of the Amid, v'hod dekrachin, v'hod dekvarim. It depends where the Beis HaKnesses was. Was it in a little shtetler, where everybody knew each other, and the 3 members, 6 members, 10 members of the shul, they were the shul, they were the owners, so it's like they're biased, and therefore there's a din of tumas negoyim. Or was it dekrachin? And Rashi said dekrachin was a place where hundreds, thousands of people came from all over to go and daven there. And there are no balam yuchadim. It's just basically a public area. Exactly. So, that being the case, says the Gemara, that type of shul doesn't belong to anyone. It belongs to everyone. And therefore, the no din of Tumas Negoyim. So now the Gemara asks the kasha, middle of the first line. Udekrachim, ein metam benegoyim. You're telling me by krachim there's no din of Tumas Negoyim. Vatanya ava braisa. Shteyn pasik achuzaschem. What does it say in the pasik? Vnasati negat saras bebeis eretz achuzaschem. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to go and put a negat saras in your achuza. The word achuza means your nachlo, your portion. Ah, talk to you more about tani achuzaschem, achuzaschem mitame benigoyim. Ben Yerushalayim mitame benigoyim. There's no din of negat teras in the whole city of Yerushalayim. Why is there no din of teras in the whole city of Yerushalayim? As we'll see momentarily, there's a big machloikis between the Tanoim whether or not Yishulayim nischalka lishvatim or loy nischalka lishvatim. We know that the entire Eretz Yisrael was subdivided among the Shvatim. The question is Yerushalayim also subdivided among the Shvatim? Because there is a swara, one man diyamah holds that Yerushalayim was, if you will, an international city, not in the sense of current-day politics international, but international in the sense that it belonged to all the Shvatim. Every Yidin Klai Yisrael had a chedek in Yerushalayim, and therefore, if everybody has a chedek, then nobody has a chedek. It doesn't belong to anybody miyuchad, it's public. Aha. Okay, so the Tanakhama says over here, because of the fact that Yerushalayim is loy nischalka lishvatim, it belongs to everyone. That being the case, then there is no din of achuzascha. The word achuzascha means your nachla. Achuz and nachla are synonymous terms.
Inheritance.
But it's not anybody's estate. It belongs to everyone. And therefore, says the Tanakhama, no din of Tumas Negoyim Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yehuda respectfully disagrees. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, no. In Yerushalayim itself, there is a din of tumas legon. Ani lo shemati, I only heard about this el mokay mikdash belvot. Only in a mokay mikdash, meaning only in actual Beis HaMikdash. Why is it the actual Beis HaMikdash? Why is that so special? Says Rabbi Yehuda, because says Rashi, says in the Psukim, the David HaMelech bought off the Harabayis from Aravna HaYavusi. When he went and paid Aravna HaYavusi the purchase price, he had collected and solicited funds from all Shvatim throughout Eretz Yisrael. So although Yerushalayim itself, Rabbi Yehuda holds, was Nischalko Lishvotim, and in particular the Shvotim of Binyamin and Yehuda. However, the Beis HaMikdash itself is deemed to be the property of Gantz Klal Yisrael. Since it's the property of Gantz Klal Yisrael, then if you find a Neger Teras, it's not an Achuza of anyone in particular, it belongs to everyone. When you say something belongs to everyone, it means it doesn't belong to anyone in particular. That being the case, there's no din of Tumas Negoim in the Mikdash, but there is Tumas Negoim in Yerushalayim. Is the Chumash for Rabbi Yehuda that only Mokim Mikdash Bavod, Habate Knesiois, Ubate Medrashis, Betam Menegoim? If you have throughout Yerushalayim other than the Mokim HaMikdash, it sounds like that any Shul would be Metam Menegoim. It's only the Mokim Mikdash, but a small shul somewhere, a big shul somewhere, is not matam negoyim. The avagav the krachim, they know. Even though Yerushalayim is considered certainly to be a krach, it's a krach mukhefes choyma. Not that that's important for our purposes, but we know that it's called a krach. It's a very large city. People coming and going from Malazai. So you see that a shul in krachim does have a din of tumas negoyim according to Rabbi Yehuda. And you just got finished saying that krachim ain't matam negoyim. I didn't mean the Mokim HaMikdash, I meant the Mokim Mekudash, meaning including the shuls, the Bata Knesios and Bata Medrashos in Yerushalayim. All of those, they are all, if you will, exempt zones from Din of Tumas Negoyim. Yerushalayim generally, yes. But not the Mokim Mikdash, and not the shuls, and not the Bata Medrashim. There was no din of the goyim. What's the reason why? Because all these shuls are in the krachim, and we said shuls of krachim are not metamed bin goyim. Now, on the surface, it would appear that I have to go and amend the text of Rabbi Yehuda and change it from Mokim Mikdash to Mokim Mikudosh. Says the Ritva, it's not necessary, because in Yecheskel there's a pasuk in Kapitel Yeralef, pasuk Tezayin, where it refers to Mikdosh, and it's referring to Shuls and Bata Midrashim, because they are all a base Mikdosh Ma'at. And therefore, when Rabbi Yehuda said Mokim Mikdosh, he meant the Mikdosh in terms of the grand Beis HaMikdash, and he also meant the shuls, which are a Mikdash Ma'at. And therefore, you don't even have to go and change the text according to the Ritva. Pretty more of a, I see that Bata Knesiyot, Avagav the Krachim Ninu, according to Yehuda, there is a din of Tumas Negoyim. So, and for the Gemara, Mokim Kodesh Bufan. Pretty more, Mike, if you want to make a choice between Tanakam and Yehuda, Tanakam is of Yerushalayim, Loinus Chalkal Shvatim. Yerushalayim was not subdivided among the Shvatim. And since it wasn't subdivided, it's not an achuza aschem. It's not an inheritance. It's not an achuza. It's not an estate. Therefore, you cannot have Tumas Negoyim. Rabbi Yisrael Yishlaim Yischalkel Shvatim. Yishlaim was subdivided to Gantz Klal Yisrael, not Gantz Klal Yisrael, to the two Shvatim of Binyamin and Yehuda. See, it wasn't Yischalik, just like any other town, city, any other land throughout Eretz Yisrael. So just like everywhere else, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, "V'nasati nega tzaras bebeis eretz achuzaschem." Yerushalayim is also beis eretz achuzaschem. So, unfortunately, there could be a nega tzaras in Yerushalayim. The only place that there is no mokum tzaras, that would be no nega tzaras, that would be a mokum mikdash, which is both the beis mikdash as well as the bat knesiyos and bat medrashos in krachim like Yerushalayim. This machloikis as to whether Yerushalayim was nischalk or not nischalk or lishvotim, this is shown an alta machloikis. The sign you will learn in a braisa. Ma hoye bechelkoi shel Yehuda in Yerushalayim. According to this man, the Amma, Yerushalayim was subdivided between Yehuda and Binyamin. And not only Yerushalayim, but the Beis HaMikdash itself. So what chelik of the Beis HaMikdash was in Yehuda? What chelik was in Binyamin? Zogt Yimara, Ma'ye b'chelka shu Yehuda, Har Habayis, HaLishokhois, Bu'azores, the Har Habayis, and all the Lishkois on the Har Habayis, and all the Azores, all of that was in the chelik of Yehuda. Ma'hoye b'chelka shu Binyamin, what was the chelik of Binyamin? The Ulam and the Heichel obeys Kotcher Kadoshim. So, if you will, Yehuda had more of the eastern part of the Har Habayis and of the Beis HaMikdash, while Binyamin had more of the western part, the Ulam Heichel Beis Kotcher Kadoshim. Uretzio Haisi Yoitza Michalkoi Shel Yehuda, and there was a slip of land. A strip of land that was Yoitz Mechelkosh Yehuda, v'nichnasis lechelkosh shel Binyamin, and it entered into the chelik of Binyamin, uba hoyim mizbeach bonui, and on that strip the mizbeach was built. Binyamin atzadik, mitzadik hoyim mitzdayer leil levalu b'chol yad, and Binyamin atzadik wanted to go and, if you will, swallow it up every day. He felt bad that the mokim hamizbeach, that shouldn't be on his chelik. Shneamar choifav olav kol hayoyim. Every day he is hovering over that mizbeach, hoping and praying that that will be his portion, if you will. Rashi says that the word choifav is also related to a person who is constantly with an anxiety and is constantly therefore scratching or rubbing his head, wondering what can I do, what can I plan, how can I get it, etc., etc.
Now, Chofeif Rosh is washing one's hair.
Exactly, Shampoo.
Good, I'm glad that you pointed that out, because that's what Rashi says. If you look in the middle of the Rashis, smack in the middle, Chofeif, do you have Chofeif? Yeah, in the middle here. Ka'odam ha-mischachech. Hamaschachek means to scratch or to rub. Machmas she'inu masik tavosai, because he's trying his best. He wants to get a deal. He wants to go and get a particular type of ice cream, a particular type of sushi mixed together with pizza with a little bit of ice cream on top, and he can't find it anywhere. So therefore he's scratching. He's saying, I can't get it. It says, lo she'nozir le'yochef roishoy, just like the nozir should not go and, as you said, to shampoo, but in more particular in our case, not to go and scratch his head, because if he scratches out his head, by accident a couple of hairs may come out, and as we know, a nozir is not allowed to go and remove any hair during his 30 days of nazirus. So just like the yochef over there, it doesn't only mean shampooing, but also means to rub and to scratch, here is a person, Binyamin HaTzadik, who is choifef olav kol hayoyim, constantly scratching his head. What can I do? I want to get that mizbeach. Exactly. Now, why is Binyamin called Binyamin HaTzadik? The reason is because the Gemara in two places, both in Masechta Shabbos and at the end of the first perek in Masechta Bava Basra, says Binyamin was one of four people that would have lived forever because he had no Averois, and the only reason why he passed away was Be'etjoy Shel Nochash. Be'etjoy Shel Nochash is referring to Nochash HaKadmoni, that bad guy that caused trouble for Odom and Chava, and as a result of him, unfortunately, Misa was Niknes Ba'olam, was declared on this world. But otherwise, if it had not been for Nochash HaKadmoni, had it not been for Odom and Chava eating from that Eitz Hadas, we would all live forever and ever. So that's why Binyamin HaTzadik is one out of four. Who are the other three? Yishai Avi David, Amram Avi Moshe.
And the fourth idea leaves me.
Fourth one was Kilov, the son of David HaMelech. So Kilov, the Gemara says in the beginning of Brachos, he was the one that was machlim pnei mefiboshes, because mefiboshes embarrassed David HaMelech by always pointing out that David HaMelech had paskened incorrectly, and mefiboshes therefore was showed that his mouth was right. He was mevayish David. David was zoichet to have a son Kilov that in turn was mevayish mefiboshes, not necessarily intentionally, but mefiboshes had to go and agree that Kilov was the greater Talmud Chacham and Psak Halacha, etc. Anyway, those four. That's why Binyamin is called Binyamin Tzadik. Benasha Ushpiz.
So these four, what was the common denominator?
That they all were Mesu Be'etyoy Shel Nochash. The only reason why they passed away is because of the original sin of Nochash HaKadmoni. They themselves had nothing to do with sin. They were pure tzadikim.
Faultless.
I'm sorry?
They were faultless, but what?
Faultless.
So he's Binyamin is upset that he doesn't have the chometz be'ach. Is that the thought that, or he's upset that why is he upset? The mizbeach, there's a strip of land next to the mizbeach that's in the chelik of Binyamin.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of it is in the chelik of Yehuda. So Binyamin is upset because the rest of the mizbeach, he has the ulam, he has the heichal, he has the korish kedashim, mm-hmm. and he's scratching his head because he wants the mizbeach too. Is that what the Gemara is saying?
As you know, the Gemara says,
right.
Everybody wants more than what Hashem has given them. They all have
that. He has the crown jewels. He has the crown jewels already.
Everybody has that drive. So now there are some people who have $1 million want to have $2 million, and some people have $1 billion they want $2 million. And you say to yourself, if you got $1 billion already, what do you need $2 billion for? But that's human nature. Here the Gemara is telling us Binyamin the Tzaddik was not interested in another million or $1 billion. He was interested in more rochnias, and more avoidus Hashem, and so therefore it's taka true. He had the western wall of the Beis Hamikdash in a sense. I don't mean the Kosel Maravi, but the western side of the Beis Hamikdash. He had the Ulam and the Heichal Kachikachim. But the basic avoid that was done every single day of the week was done on the Mizbech. And therefore Binyamin said, why shouldn't I have the Mizbech also in my Chelik? And the fact that he was the one that had this tremendous desire is because we see Choyfef Olav Kolayim. Every day he's thinking to myself, how come I don't have the Mizbeach and what can I do, and etc., etc.
Isn't that though sinful, that kind of thinking and desiring the other person's
Sosachmod?
Did you already, first of all, it says Kinas Soifrim Tar B'chochma. Anything having to do with kina, jealousy, doing with suffering, with learning, that's only going to add chachma. That's not going to take away. That kina is permissible. So if I see that Erev Daniel have already finished all of these mesechtas, brachis, and Shabbos, and Erevin, and Pesachim, and I say to myself, and Shkolim, exactly. I say to myself, I am jealous. No, so you go and learn too. Who stops you from learning? You
can learn no jealousy.
That's a good jealousy, right? So this is a good jealousy too, that I want to go and have more avodas Hashem. Anyway, this is the Poshup Shat in the Gemara. Rashi, not here, but Rashi in Zvochim, and it's quoted here in Rashi at length, that it doesn't mean like it would sound that the Mizbeach was on a piece of land that belonged to Yehuda, but rather that Yehuda's land straddled and was adjacent to the Mizbeach, to the point that if the Mizbeach had been totally complete on all sides, part of that Mizbeach would have been in the Chilik of Yehuda. But in fact, on two sides of the Mizbeach, there's something missing. And that what's missing is the Yesoid. We only have one Amala on the right hand side and one Amala on the bottom, on the southern side of the Mizbeach. That the rest of the space where there could have been, should have been, would have been a Yesoid, that space belongs to Yehuda. So therefore it's not that the Mizbeach itself, in fact the Mizbeach itself is totally a Minyamin. The reason why there was no Yesoid on the right, meaning on the eastern side, the Mizrach Vant, and on the southern Vant, the reason is because that belonged to Yehuda, and therefore there was no Yesoid of the Mizbeach, because the rest of Mizbeach belonged to Binyamin. That's what this lengthy Musaf Rashi quotes from Masechtas Zvach. But just getting back to our Gemara, so the Gemara says, so what do I see from that brisa? What I see crystal clearly, that Yerushalayim, not only Yerushalayim, but even the Beis HaMikdash was nischalko lishvatim between Binyamin and Yehuda. And now I have another Madiyama, Vahaitanis of Yerushalayim, loy nischalko lishvatim. He said Yerushalayim was not subdivided, the sign we learned in the brisa. Ein maskirin batim Yerushalayim, v'fisha ein eshelehem. If you own a house or a hotel in Yerushalayim, you cannot go and charge people for staying in your home or your hotel because it doesn't belong to you. Where you think this is your house, your hotel, I'm sorry, mister, it's not your property. Everything in Yerushalayim belongs to everyone. So much so, if you rented out just a mita to sleep on, Yankel, Beryl, Shmuel, you're here in Yerushalayim, where are you going to sleep? I don't know. I got a bunch of extra beds, sleep on my beds. You cannot go and charge for those either. What's the reason why? Because those mitos are not in mid-air. They're on terra firma. They're on the ground. And terra firma doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Ganz Klal Yisrael. it's as if a person would go here to Central Park or Riverside Park, stretch out a whole bunch of mattresses, and charge people $10, $20 for lying on his mattress. The police can come and say, "Mister, this is public property. You have no right to go and put down your mattresses. Take them home, and don't charge people for sleeping on them. Take it home and do what you want at home, but not here in the street."
I understand why you don't have a right to. But if you have, provide someone with hana,
we're almost done. Okay. Says the Gemara, but nevertheless, these people are, after all, providing people with hana, yeah, and they are giving them something. Lefichach, they are entitled, although they cannot go in charge, they're entitled to get what we would normally call a tip. Lefichach, oiris kodshim bali ushbezichnen noitlen oison bizroya. What's the reason? Amar Abayish, Mamino, Irachar lemishbek inish gulfa umashcha leup leushbize. So the Gemara is telling us is, says Abaye, if you're staying at some, for instance, you happen to be invited to somebody's home for a Shabbos meal, what do typically people do? They bring along a bottle of wine, or they bring along flowers, or they bring some sort of present. Not that they have to, but that's Oirachar lemishbek inish. A person should leave over. Gulfa is, Rashi says, a kankan shulcheres, a nice container, as well as a mashcha. Mashcha would mean a skin. So if in Yerushalayim, and you're staying in somebody's house, and you just brought a karm shlomim that day, and you took home the skin from the Beis HaMikdash, don't take that skin with you. Leave the skin there for the owner of the hotel, the owner of the inn, the owner of the home, so that he has some benefit. So this is not something he can charge you for, but this is something that is due him as just a normal courtesy. Reb Lozer, Reb Sadik goes one step further, that since this became the established tradition, then the Bali Yishpizich, the Noit Noisim Bezroya, they can in fact demand it. They can't go and say, they don't have to go and say, "Your uncle, you stayed with us a few days, you know, it would be a nice thing to do to go and leave over some sort of tip, you know, I don't know." But they can demand the tip, and they can go and say, "Hey, mister, it's true I can't go and charge you, but please, come on, be a mensch. Leave over the oiris kodshim as a tip for us, so that we have at least some way to go and cover the overhead expenses, etc." Anyway, so what do I see from that brisa that you cannot even charge? Why can't you go and charge your shalayim? Because Salim is chalkal shvatim, it doesn't belong to me, it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to everybody. So we have that machlekes.
So the ability to charge rent is derivative of the ownership of the land.
Exactly. It doesn't belong to you. If I'm a squatter on somebody else's property and I want to go in, "Yeah, come on in. This is my property. You can live here. It's not mine." Let's go back to the... I'm sorry?
People do that, though.
And if they get caught, and then afterwards, you know what happens to them. We started off the top of the Omid, distinguishing between Kforim and Krochim. Until now, we were focusing on the Krachim, and saying, is that taka true? The Krachim are not Metam ben Egoyim, and then we got involved in Yerushalayim. Now we're going back to the Kforim. And we said that Kfarim, if you have a shul in a Kfar, that it is Mitame bin Igon, because you can identify who all the owners are, the members of this small little town shul, because the whole town only has 12 people, and so therefore you know exactly who the members are, and everybody has to contribute to the upkeep, and to the Ruv, and to the Shamas, and to the Shoichit, and to the Chazan, etc., etc. So that's considered to be a real Achuzaschem, and there could be a Tumas Negoyim. Pray tomorrow to Kvar, Mim, Tamet Negoyim. What time do we have another Braisa? It says in the Pasuk, La Achuza, that you're getting these houses in Eretz Yisrael for Achuza. Darshan Nimor, Achi Yichbashu, Oisa. Only when does the din of Tumas Negoyim, when is it triggered? Only after the kibbush. Kibbush means that Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael and they conquered the land. So for the first few years, the nega would not apply. There would be no din of Tumas Negoyim. Why would there no be? Because it's not an achuzi yet. It's got to be after the kibbush. What happens if they in fact conquered Eretz Yisrael? However, it wasn't subdivided yet. Or they subdivided for the chokul v'isavos. But within the shevet, they haven't subdivided into different mishpachas. I know that this whole chelik belongs to Dan, and this whole chelik belongs to Zvulun. But I don't know within the shevet Dan and Zvulun who gets what. Chokul v'isavos then kolach and makir shaloi. Even if they split it up to mishpachas, but within the mishpach itself, I don't know I could have a large mishpacha and 5, 10 children. I don't know which one of the children gets this and that and the other thing. Minayin, how do I know that the din of achuzah doesn't apply yet? Tamaloyma uvo asher loy habayis. A person who has a house and he sees that there's a nega teras on the wall of the house. Vehigil lakoyin lemar. Kenega near a liba boyis. In my house, I found a nega. It's got to be mishu yuchad loy. You have to English im yuchad loy. Any one of those houses that we just spoke about, before this man of kibbush, after this man of kibbush, before chilik, after chilik, as long as you cannot identify a particular house as being loy, your house, no din of tumas negar. So that's the case when you get to this this base hakinesis in a shtetla, in a kvar, even though I know who the members are, but it doesn't belong to anybody in particular. There is no vo'asha loy habayis, miyuchad loy. It's not miyuchad loy, it's for the whole community. Even the community is only 12 people, but it's everybody. Therefore, this price would hold that even by kvarim, there is no din of nega batim in a basic kinesis of a kvar. So if that's the case, then this teretz of kvarim and krachim l'chayra falls away. So Simon, you're right. El machmarat kedushin meikara. To answer the original stira that we started off with this morning, and that we ended off yesterday's Gemara, a stira between two prices. One price says basic kinesis is metam v'negoyim. The other one says basic kinesis is not metam v'negoyim. So we had three answers. The first answer was hora meir hora bonan. Second answer was this has a base stira, this doesn't have a base stira. Those two answers are great answers, and we stay with those. But the third teretz, the one that's talking about kvarim, one that's talking about krachim, that teretz we fall away. Okay, we go back to our Mishnah on Daf Beis. Baruch Hashem, what a beautiful Mishnah. We're already into 9-10 blots since then, and we are still talking about the Mishnah. Umaskinen loy koyen acher. That when it comes Yom Kippur, you have to really, really be careful that you have a koyen gadol available. What happens at the last moment the koyen gadol becomes, for instance, tameh, and he's not able to do the avoida, so you have to have a second backup koyen who can do the avoida as the koyen gadol that day. So Timora, Pshito Iroloi Poi Psul, Koinim Tomichul Shachar, Machanchan Oisibet Tomichul Shachar, El Iroboi Psul Acher, Acher, Tomichul Shachar, Beme Machanchan Oisoi. The Gemara, when he uses the term Machanach, is not like we think of a Machanach of teaching, but it's more like an inauguration or installation, like you make a Chinach of a Besmerish, Chinach Abayis. That's the type of chinuch we're talking about. And what the Gemara is asking, chinuch of a koyin. So we're asking is, what would show that this backup koyin, who until now was a regular koyin hedjit, what will identify his status of being upgraded from a koyin hedjit to a koyin god? So as we know throughout Shas, when we talk about these inyanim, and we had this not too long ago in the Gemara, a few days ago, the Gemara says there are two ways of upgrading, and not only upgrading, but installing a koyin and identifying him as being either a koyin hedjit or a koyin gadol. One way is through the shemen hamishcha, and the second way is through ribui begadim. Now, in terms of the shemen mishcha, as we know, this lasted until Yoshio HaMelech. After Yoshio HaMelech, no more shemen mishcha because he was gones. Gones means he hid it together with the oroin and the maklish of the haroin, etc., etc. Okay, so now you have to have ribui begadim. So the way a kohen gadol would identify himself and the way he would be installed as the new kohen gadol is by doing avoida with the shmoina begadim. Since the regular kohen hedjit only has 4, the kohen gadol has 8. If he's going to do the avoida one day, a normal regular avoida that everybody else wears only 4, he's going to wear 8. Oh, that puts the stamp on him that he is now the kohen gadol. So now this kohen, who is the backup kohen, who now wishes to become, and which we, Klal Yisrael, wish that he become now the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, how are we going to identify him, not just identify him, how are we going to brand him, how are we going to install him as the new Kohen Gadol? It's Pshita. Ira boi psul koidim tomit shel shachar. If, before the tomit shel shachar on Yom Kippur morning, either Yom Kippur morning, or a day before, 2 days before, or whatever, the Kohen Gadol became Tamei, and he was not able to be Metayer himself. You know, normally, if he became Tamei the day before, then he'd go to the Mikvah, and then he has Erev Shemesh. But maybe he became Tamei Tumas Mas, and then you have to wait Shlishi Shvi, and he won't have enough time for Shlishi Shvi until Yom Kippur. Whatever, the point is that the Kohen Gadol became possible. Doesn't have to be Tumah. He could also have broken his leg, and therefore, temporarily, he's a Baal Mum. Whatever the situation is. So then there's an easy way of inaugurating this new Kohen Gadol. How? Mechanchan oisim b'tamid shel shachar. Tamid shel shachar is the main first avoyda every single morning before we get to the special avoydos that pertain to Yom Kippur itself. The Tamid shel shachar, as you know, the Kohen Gadol did everything from soup to nuts, and from nails to bolts, or whatever, screws to bolts, whatever the metaphors are, he did everything on Yom Kippur. So now this new backup Kohen Gadol, he is now being installed. So the first thing he's going to do is the Tamid Shel Shachar. He's going to put on the Shmoinim Begadim. Oh, now we recognize him as being now the Kohen Gadol, at least for the day, because he's wearing the Shmoinim Begadim. Good. That works beautifully. El ir boi psul achat tamid shel shachar. We at this point, what is he going to do now? He's going to do the normal avoidos of Yom Kippur, the special avoidos of Yom Kippur. Now he's going to wear four begadim, the big day lovan. And the Gemara is assuming that the big day lovan of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, which are four begadim, are identical to the four begadim that a Kohen Hedjit wears throughout the year. And if that's the case, how can I identify and say that this Kohen has now been installed and inaugurated as the new Kohen Gadol? He's wearing the same begadim that he wore 5 minutes ago and 5 days ago and 5 months ago. In other words, the same four big day Kohen Hedjit. What has changed? No, there is a major difference between a Kohen Gadol and between a Kohen Hedjit, and that is in the material that you use to manufacture an Avnet. What does that mean? Avnet, of course, is, well, let's talk about the other three. Every single Kohen Hedjit, as well as every Kohen Gadol, wears Mechnasayim. They wear a Mitznefes or a Migbaz. And they also wear a ksoinis. Ksoinis is like a tunic. Ikbas is like a hat of sorts, and mechtasayim is a form of pants. Fine. Besides that, every Kohen Gadol and every Kohen Hedjit also wore an avne. Now, the Kohen Gadol had other begadim in addition to that, the choshen and the ephod and the tzitzit, all of that is true. But we're focusing now on the avnet. Avnet was common to both of them. But what was the material that they used to go and manufacture the avnet? The Torah does not tell us what the material was for the Kohen Hedjit, but the Torah does tell us what the Avnet was for the Kohen Gadol. By the Kohen Gadol, it says, "Ves Avnet sheish marzor tchilis vargomim v'tlashani." Says clearly that Avnet was made of sheish marzor. Sheish, of course, is linen. Tchilis that happens to be wool. So therefore, it is what we call shatnis or kelayim. Kohen Gadol wore an avnet full of shatnes. That was the mitzvah. That's throughout the year. However, when you're talking about on Yom Kippur, then all of the begadim were big day lovan, and therefore even the avnet was made out of bad. Uv avnet bad yachkor, uv mitznefes bad yitznoif. Everything has to be made out of bat. Oh, so the Kohen Gadol had two separate gartlach. One gartel, an avnet of the gartel, or the belt, throughout the year was made out of shatnes, and on Yom Kippur was made out of bad, out of linen. Question is, what about the Kohen Hedjit's avnet? The Kohen Hedjit did not have a distinction, no difference between the Yom Kippur throughout the year. His avnet was always the same. On the surface, we shouldn't even be talking about a Kohen Hedjit on Yom Kippur, because the Chayyid didn't do any avoid on Yom Kippur, so of course it was all the same. We'll talk about that more on the Amud Beis. But at this point, I don't know what the fabric of the Avnet was. So, if you're going to go and tell me that the Avnet of the Kohen Hedjit was throughout the year shatnez, the Kohen Hedjit's Avnet was the same as the Kohen Gadol's weekday meaning every day other than Yom Kippur, it was also made out of shatnez. So then, when it comes Yom Kippur, since this Kohen Hedjet, who has now been upgraded and exalted to become the Kohen Gadol for the day, if he's going to wear now his regular Avnet of Shatness, that's not the Kohen Gadol's bag yet. To go and install him, he's going to wear the Kohen Gadol's Avnet, which is made out of Bad. Oh, that's Mechamchanoise. Omer Avada Barahav Be'avnet, the fact that he's going to wear a different Avnet, that will install him, that will inaugurate him as the brand new Kohen Gadol, because we see for the first time in his life, no longer wearing the Shatness Nika Avnet, he's wearing the Kohen Gadol's Avnet of the Bad.
Why would the Kohen Gadol ever have four begadim except on Yom Kippur?
Why would he ever have four begadim
of love on Yom Kippur? So why are we saying that he has an avnet of a Yom Kippur tikka and an avnet of a non?
No, the avnet of the every single day. That's the avnet that the Kohen Gadol wears. What part of the Shemayna Begadim?
Okay,
one of the Shemayna Begadim is an avnet.
So the rest of the year he never has any need to wear these four begadim.
No. Not only doesn't he have a need, there's a nichum sham. Once he used it once, he can't use it again.
Okay.
Anyway, so Zokti Gemari, yes, the difference would be ba'avnet. So, how do you call a man yom avnet shel kohen gadol zehu avnet shel kohen hedjet? According to the man yom that says that the avnet of the kohen gadol throughout the year, which was shatness, that was also the avnet of the kohen hedjet throughout the year. Shatness, that's a good teretz. Because he's no longer this backup standby Kohen Gadol. Until 2 minutes ago, Kohen Hedjet, now Kohen Gadol. He's going to take off his Avnet of Shatness, or he's not going to put it on. He's going to put in his Avnet of Bad, of linen. Everybody will say, oh, Ololigdula, he's gotten, not Shlishi, he's gotten Kohen Gadol. He's now wearing the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol. That the Kohen Hedjet's Avnet throughout the year was always made out of Bad. And so therefore it was not the same as the Avnet Shel Kohen Gadol, which throughout the year was made out of Shatness. Then there's no change in clothing between what this Kohen would normally wear as an Avnet as part of his Big De Kahuna as a Kohen Hedjet to the Avnet that he's now wearing because he's become the Kohen Gadol wearing the Big De Lovin. It's the exact same begotten. Omer Abayis, Abayis is good gefragt. I have another Eitzah. Loivish Shmoina Umahapach Betzinura. Remember, how did we start off? It's a pshita that if the psul happened before the Tamei Shel Shachar, he'll wear the Shmoina Begadim when he's doing the Tamei Shel Shachar, and then everybody will recognize that he has been installed as the new Kohen Gadol, Shmoina Begadim. The problem was, what happens if the psul is only after the Tamei Shel Shachar? The next avoida is the Yom Kippur Dika, where you don't wear the Big Day Zov, you're wearing the Big Day Lovin. Says the Gemara, I'm going to insert, and if you will, invent a new mini avoida which will require the Shmoina Begadim, and therefore he'll wear the Shmoina Begadim when he's doing it. What is that? We're going to tell the Kohen Gadol, you see a couple of the Eivorim of the Tamid Shel Shachar that were placed on the Marocha by the Kohen Gadol, who unfortunately just became Psul, just became Psul. Guess what? Some of those Eivorim are not burning properly on the Marocha. Can you do us a favor? Take this large tzinura, this large pitchfork, come up on the kevish of the Mizbeach, and turn the Eivor upside down, and turn it over in the fire on the Marocha, and that will help it go and get burned all that much quicker. Now, you and I would look upon this and say, that's an avoida. Just leave it there the whole day. Hector,
eventually,
it'll eventually burn up on itself. Okay, Rav Huna, the Amar Rav Huna, Zor Shehafach Betzinura Chayim Misa. Can you hear that? Rabbi say, Azor that turned over the Eivorim on the Mizbeach, he's Chayim. What did he do? Look at the bottom, Rashi. Chayim Misa, Mishim Azor HaKorev Yumas, Alma Kroy V'Avoida Ha V'Avoida. Even B'Makarev, to speed up the Avoida by making this Aver get burned that much more quickly, to say it's Ochan Avoida, according to Rafuna. Ah, so therefore, according to Rafuna, Habachan Ochan Eitzah, they go and show that this Kohen has now become the Kohen Gadol, because he's wearing the Shemoyne V'Gadol, and he's doing an Avoida. What's the Avoida of being Mahapach Mitzidon? Rapapa says, you don't really need to come on to these mental gymnastics, if you will. You don't have to come on that.
Yeah.
In other words, there's a third way to be mechanech a new Kohen Gadol. Number one is Shemen HaMishcha. Number two is Ribui Begadim. Number three is the avoid is mechanech. Mi lo tanya, didn't we learn that the brisa kolakelim she'asa Moshe mishichasan mikad she'asan mikan ve'elach avodasan minchan chasan. The only time that the clay shores in the Beis Hamikdash were benefited by the Shemen HaMishka was only in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. After Moshe Rabbeinu, all new clay shores did not have the benefit of Mishichas Shemen. The Kehanim Gdoyla had Mishichas Shemen, the Melochim had Mishichas Shemen, depending whether it was a Melech ben Melech, whether it was a Machloikis. But the Kalim didn't have the benefit anymore of Mishicha. So what sanctified them? What made them Kodesh to use in the Beis HaMikdash? It was really on the job training, if you will. Just using the klisharis for the first time, that in itself, that is gitaviyod liboim keechad. The first time that you use it, that avoid is mekadesh it, that sanctifies it to be now a bona fide klisharis. How can I mean the same thing by this Kohen Gadol? Avodas, the first time he's going to do the avoda now with the Big Day Lovan, even if the Big Day Lovan are identical to the Big Day Lovan of the Kohen Hedyot, once he starts doing the avodas Yom HaKippurim with the par, with the soyer, with the geirolois, with the ktoides, with the ganze geschäft, oh, Avodas Mechan Chosin, that in itself will upgrade him, install him, inaugurate him as the new Kohen Gadol. Fine. So we had three terutzim, either because of different avnet, or the mahapach mitzinura, or avodas mechan chasay. From here until the bottom of the omid, we're going to discuss at some length the different avnetim of the kohen gadol and the kohen hedyot. And remember, the key to remember is that vis-a-vis the kohen gadol, there's no question. The Torah said beferish that the avnet of the Kohen Gadol was made out of kalayim, out of shatnas, the entire year, and the one that he used on Yom Kippur was unquestionably made out of bad, made out of linen. Only question is, what was the avnet shel Kohen Hedyot? And the Gemara is going to show that this is a machloikis between the Tanai.
Ki osad of dimi yomar. Could have been the same, the avnet, what was colored, the one of the, that the Kohen Hedyot wore.
Yes.
Was, did it have Shesh Mazar and all these different?
That, according to one man, the Yomar, yes. That's Rebbe. Rebbe and Brother Shai both hold the same thing, that the avnet of the Kohen Hedyot was made out of kelaim, sheish morzor, tehilis, vargom, and
tlachoni. So that was a colorful.
Very colorful.
It wasn't a Big Day Lavan.
Not at all.
So
we don't normally call the Kohanim Hedyotim's Bigodim Big Day Lavan. We call it the Big Day Kohen Hedyot. Right. It's only on Yom Kippur. They're clearly the Bigodim that were worn by the Kohen Gadol, which are identical three out of the four, as well as the Avnet, all of those were made out of Bat. Whether the Kohen Hedyot was also made out of Bat, doesn't say. But we never call the Bigodim of the Kohen Hedyot Big Day Lavan, we only call the Kohen Gadol. And that clearly the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur was made out of Bat, because the Pasuk says, Nechusevad, Yobashav Sorei, Ubavnei Bad Yachor, Mitznefes Bad Yitznei, everything was made out of
Bat. So the four Begadim are the Mitznefes?
You're talking about
the Kohen Hedyot.
The names are the four, both the Kohen Hedyot and the Big Day Lavan on Yom Kippur. What are the four? One of them is Nechusayim. Number two is the Mikbas or Mitznefes. Number three is the Ksoinis, a tunic. And the fourth is the Avnet.
Okay.
So they're exactly the same. So what does the Kohen Gadol wear in addition to that? Another four begotten. The Ephod, the Choshen, the Tzitz, and the Me'il. Those are the additional four. So that's four plus four. Is it? But Kohen Gadol also wears the four of the Kohen Hedyot, and he adds four more. Only question is about the Avnet. Does he have to change the Avnet? Same Avnet.
Okay.
And that's the focus.
Okay.
Very good. Is again, the Shaila is, what does the Kohen Hedyot's Avnet consist of? Is it Shatnes, or is it made out of Bat? One of them says it was made out of shatnez, and one of them says butz is the same as bad, means made out of linen. I'm going to bring you a raya that Rebbe holds it's kalayim, and parenthetically, we're also going to bring a raya that a brother of Shimon holds that it was made out of butz. How do I know? Decide we have a brisa. The only difference in the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Hedyot, was the avnet. Period. Nothing more to talk about. As these are Rebbe. Not even the avnet was different between the Kohen Hedyot and the Kohen Gadol. Now, it doesn't identify when we are speaking. It just says Ein Bein Kohen Gadol Kohen Hedyot. So, break the more Amos. What day of the year? You're going to tell me throughout the year. In other words, 364 days. other than Yom Kippur. And what did Rabbi say? Rabbi said there is no difference between the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedjit, Hela Avnei, Frey Timura. What do you mean? Tuva Ikar. There's such a major difference. Kohen Gadol Meshamish Vishmoine, the Hedjit Barbah. It's not just the Avnei. This is 8 and this is 4. Arithmetically, that's 100% more. Double. That can't be. Ela must be talking about Bihama Kippurim. Ah, so we're talking about Yom Kippur. And we're saying the four begodim, the Kohen Gadol, are the same as the four begodim of the Kohen Hedjit, with the exception, says Rabbi, Ela Avnei, right? Ain't been Kohen Gadol, Kohen Hedjit. They both wear the same Mechdesayim. They both wear the same Ksoinis. They both wear the same hat. The only difference is in the Avnei. Oh, so I see that there's a difference in the Avnei. So it says Yimor, and now we're talking about Yom Kippur, not the whole year, because the whole year will be 8 and 4. So there's a big difference. So Yom Kippur, the only difference is the Avnei. Okay, so what's the difference? That we know the Yom Kippur Dika Avnei of the Kohen Gadol is Bad, Uv Avnei Bad Yachkar, that's clearly made out of Bad. And if there's a difference, that means that the Kohen Hedjits must be made out of Shatnes. Oh, so therefore that's the Raya, says the Gemara, that Rebbe holds, this time, the Rebbe, who the Yom Shokalai, and then, what did Reb Loza Reb Shimon say? Afloy Avnei. No. Even the Avnei, there was no difference. Why? Because what did Reb Loza Reb Shimon say? He was said that throughout the year, the Kohen Hedjit's Avnei was made out of Butz. And on Yom Kippur, the Avnei of the Kohen Gadol was made out of Butz. So they're exactly the same. And therefore, say the Mepharshim, the Gemara could have said, Tistayim, the Rebbe, Omer, that it's made out of Shatnez. And Tistayim, the Reb Loza Reb Shimon is the one that says that it was made out of Butz the whole year. No, Loi, you have no raya. Really, we are talking about throughout the year. We're not talking about Yom Kippur. Ah, you asked Akasha, here is 8 and here is 4. How do you say, Ein ben koin godel the koin hedjit? Says Yomur, Bahanach the Shabbin. We meant of the four big godim which are exactly the same, meaning that both the koin godel and the koin hedjit wear. They both wear hats, mitznefes mitbas. They both wear ksoinis. They both wear mechnasai. They both wear Avneit, says Rebbe. The only difference in the four begotten between the one and the other is in the fabric of the Avneit. Where according to this new pshat, since throughout the year the Kohen Gadol wears an Avneit made out of Shatnez, Muzdach Zayin, by default, that the Avneit that the Kohen Hedjit is wearing throughout the year is made out of Butz, made out of Bad. So it's Pukfakert, not the Raya that you thought. I have a conclusive raya that the Rebbe is the one that holds a kalayim with this new pshat. The Rebbe is the one that holds it. It's not made out of kalayim, and that's why throughout the year it's different. The Avnei is taka different. So therefore, we have no clear-cut raya as to what Rebbe holds or Reb Loza Reb Shimon holds, because we can interpret this previous price of both ways. Kiyasu Rabban Amar, Avnei Tishol Kohen Gadol Biyam Kippurim Divrei HaKohel Shel Butz. That's clear. State in the Torah. Avnei Bad Yachkar. Pshari Moshe Shana Divrei Kol Shel Kalayim. It's in the Feish in the Torah. How do you make the Avneit? Sheish Morsa Tchilas Agamon Tlashani. Loinach Lekol Mamneit Shel Koyin Hedjet. Oh, like we've been speaking all along. Bein Bishari Moshe Shana, Bein Biyoyim HaKippurim. The Avneit of the Koyin Hedjet, 365 days, every day of the year, including Yom Kippur. Sherebi Oymer Shel Kalayim, from Loz Reb Shimon Oymer Shel Butz. Also you have a Braisa directly on point. Robin is not Bryce, but Robin is telling us very authoritatively that Rebbe holds Kalayim, Rebbe holds Shimon Butz. It was Rabdimi said one of them holds Chad Omer Shul Kalayim, Chad Omer Shul Butz. But when Robin came, he said, no, it's crystal clear, Rebbe holds Kalayim, Rebbe holds Shimon Shul Butz. Now before we continue, remember we spoke about briefly on the Amid Aleph, and I said, wait till the Amid Beis, that we're going to talk about that the Kohen Hedjit also wears Bigodim on Yom Kippur. You only wear Big De Kahuna when you are doing avoida. A Kohen Hedjit cannot go outside the Beis Midrash and go to a bar mitzvah or a chasana wearing his big dekuna. He wears during the avoida in the Beis Midrash. What avoida are they doing? It's all the Kohen God. So it's not my kasha. This is the kasha of the Tosfos Yeshanim. And if you look at the Tosfos Yeshanim, regardless of where your Tosfos Yeshanim is, whether it's the right of the right margin or the left margin on the bottom, it's the first one. Avnei Tishol Kohen Hedjit Bein Biyom Kippurim Bein Bishar Yom Yisrael Vim Toima Kohen Hedjit Lo Meloi Avnei Biyom Kippurim. What is he wearing an Avnei Biyom Kippurim for? What avoda does he do? So the Toys Yishonim says I have another a few eitzim. Yesh loymish etzarach loy l'shnei gziri eitzim. Somebody's got to put the shnei gziri eitzim at the beginning of the day on top of the maracha. The Kohen Gadol didn't have to do that. That they left for a Kohen Hedget. Sure. So that was also ashtekel avoidi. He had to put on the avnet. Inam l'hapach b'tzinura. What we had with the Kohen Gadol was mahapach b'tzinura during the day. If they saw that the Evarim were not burning on one side for whatever reason, so they would ask the Kohen Hedget, oh, please go up and turn it over. So he wore his avnet there. V'riva pirish, she Kohen Hedget yochel avoid trumas hadashen. The first thing that he did every single morning, he took the Trumas Hadesh and put it next to the Kevish, and so on and so forth. And you see, the Toys Hashanim continues on with other possible avoiders. So, bottom line is that even the Kohen Hedget had a number of things that he could do on Yom Kippur, and when he did those things, he had to go and wear the Avnet. And what Avnet did he wear? He wore his regular, normal Avnet. What was his regular, normal Avnet? Hamachloikis. According to Revi, it was Kelai, meaning Lashatnes, and according to Blazer Reb Shimon, it was made out of Bad throughout the year, including on Yom Kippur. In other words, before Begadim of the Kohen Hedget, no change whatsoever. 365 days a year, they're all the same. The question is, what was the same? It was either every day of the year it was made out of Kelayim, or every day of the year it was made, but it was only the Kohen Gadol that had a switch between the regular days and Yom Kippur.
But doesn't the pasuk seem to say that it's talking about Avnet Shel Kohen Hedget? I was trying to look it up, but it's made
The pasuk that you're looking up, or that you tried to look up, is talking specifically about the Kohen Gadol's Avnet and not the Kohen Hedget's Avnet.
But then that was the Lashon, you can find the pasuk, because isn't that Lashon
It does, that pasuk doesn't only imply Shatnez, it says clearly Shatnez.
So that's very much not.
That's the Kohen Gadol's Avnet.
Not on Yom Kippur.
Not any of them.
So on Yom Kippur, though, they want to say it's a switch.
Look at the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. The beginning of Parshas Achrimos. You know the pasuk. You can take out any chumash because it's until Sheni. Okay. In fact, we're going to lay in Yad Hashem tomorrow morning for Kohen. Don't come every single day. Be based on paroiches and kodesh kadoshim. When you can only come the onon irala kapoiris on Yom Kippur. Bezoisi yavahan la kodesh fadin bokel lachatzim vayli oila. What should he wear? Ksoinis fad kodesh. The ksoinis is made out of bad. Umichlase vad. Yom, sorry. Uvavnei bad yachkor. Umitzmesen and nefes bad yitznoif. It's crystal clear that all four begotten on Yom Kippur were all bad, or butz, whichever way you like to refer to it. You like the term butz, right?
Butz on the ground.
I was getting used to fly.
But
yes.
Based on posuk, would that rule out shatnez then? Because it can be.
It absolutely rules out shatnez. Absolutely rules out shatnez. Rules out shatnez 1,000%.
Because the avnet bad doesn't mean bad plus, it just means bad of the bad.
Exactly. Bad of the bad. Levad. Exactly. Only bad and nothing else. Bad levad.
With
Pashat Tzava, that's where it talks about the manufacturer, the regular normal avnet. And again, we're not talking about the avnet of the Kohen Hedget, we're talking about the avnet of the Kohen Gadol. If you can find the pasuk, if you can, it's good, then you should just have to believe us.
Do we know what the bad is made out of?
Bad is linen. The word bad means linen. The word bad means linen.
The discussion of the...
Can I borrow your Gemara for a moment? I'll give it back.
I believe it.
Okay, 39:29.
What is
it? Lamites.
Oh, the Lamites.
It's in the Kude.
Not in the
Sabbath. 39:29. Okay, here we go. Yes, so Avnei Chesh Borzor. Rashi's because it's only yes or Avnate. Lamites. I'm like Lamites Malachis. Then look for Pasik Choftes. Shesh Mazar, Shesh is linen. Tchelis, Agam, and Tlashoni are all forms of wool with different colors wool. Right? This is red, and this is purple, and this is aquamarine, whatever.
So Shai is correct. So if the Kohen Hedyot had a shatnez stick belt the rest of the year, it would be colorful.
Yes, it's very colorful.
And if he had a linen belt exclusively, it would be pure white.
Yeah,
so
correct.
that would be the nafkamina for the old Kohen and Yotam, right?
That would be the bar. The toch is
External.
You're just looking at the external picture. Right. Oh, this is white and this is colorful.
That's what they're describing.
Absolutely. It's enough to mention not only the looks, but also
the material.
The material, what it's made out of. This is made out of wool and linen, and this is just made out of linen. Yeah, it's good. You're happy and
happy. Yes, this is talking.
How do I know some Medakoyim Gadol?
Yes.
We'll start from Pasuk Chof Beis.
I feel there.
Okay. All the way, seven psukim.
Is the mentioning of the
Yas as Me'il?
Like,
who did they make the Me'il for?
Right, that's the Kohen Gadol.
Okay. So then, so that shows you that we're talking in the Kohen Gadol.
Kohen Gadol Parsha.
Then the previous one talks about the Choshen, if you go back to Pasuk Chof Aleph, make the Choshen. The Eifod, all of this is talking about. Of the Kohen Gadol. Of the Kohen Gadol.
Which is Shatnez.
Which is Shatnez.
So the Machlokas is only in the
Kohen Hedyot.
Okay.
The Pasuk doesn't say clearly one way or the other.
Okay.
Pasuk is silent.
Maybe my question is partially answered. The whole conversation is about the Kohen Gadol, right?
Kohen Gadol.
So the mentioning of the Kohen Hedyot is really just for comparison purposes only, really? It's just not really relevant to the subject, actually.
Well, the reason why it's relevant to the subject is because the Mishnah said that the only one that can do the Avodah on Yom Kippur is the Kohen Gadol. What happens if the Kohen Gadol, for some reason, was not able to perform the service
so then they
on Yom Kippur?
Promoted, so then he becomes
promoted.
So how do we identify if he's wearing a white belt? It's a say. If a Kohen Hedyot can wear a white belt all days of the year, and the Kohen Gadol, if a regular Kohen wears a white linen belt,
and then
all days of the year, and then now he's a Kohen Gadol,
he's wearing a white belt
again.
We're not sure what he's wearing.
It's the same uniform. The same uniform. It doesn't show any sign of rank.
It's not that we have to have an identification. You know,
so
I'm Kohen Gadol.
Today you're the Kohen Gadol. He's sick. You're in. What's the big deal?
Yeah, okay,
promoted,
so
right?
But the promotion is not just a. Move over. You start doing
the
voice.
You know, he's got the skills, he's got the outfit. Psh, done. Okay.
That's the question. Does he have the outfit?
Right. Somebody called it installation.
Exactly. Right. Installation.
Because
until you get to the Rav Papa, the only way you can identify, oh, he's actually the Kohen Gadol, there's not some mix-up going on here, is because he's wearing the uniform. So only the Kohen Gadol wears.
And there's also competition.
Ceremony,
especially the latter mikdash is the competitions and the
hostility, yeah.
And we continue on. So we're up to Omer Nachum Bar Yitzchak.
Okay.
The middle of the Omer of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, around here somewhere. Omer Nachum Bar Yitzchak. Afanan Nami Tanina. We, in fact, have a braisa that will prove what you just said, that there's a machloikis legabe, the composition, the fabric of the Koyin Hedyot Avnet Kol Yemois Hashanah. What's the raya? Says the Pasuk Al Bsorei. So we have the benefit, once again, of Tzori Ora Shalem. This is the Pasuk in Parshas Vayikra, the lovash hakoyin midoy vad, umichnasay vad yilbash al b'sorei, v'hira misadeshin ashtoich alo eish es oila al mizbech, v'samay eitz al mizbech. Maybe beginning of Parshas Tzav. Regardless, but what does it say in the pasuk that the koyin wears midoy vad? The word midoy means the ksoinis. Umichnasay vad, he's wearing the michnasay yilbash al b'sorei. Now this pasuk doesn't mention the other two, that he has to wear the hat. That's the mikvah and tznefes, and it doesn't say anything about the avnet. So we're going to talk about that in a moment. But what did he do when he wore the midoy vad the ksoynis? Umechnas vad the mechnasayim. He went the hemes hadesh and ashtoich alayish. He did the trumas hadesh. He was the one that removed the symbolic amount of ash in the morning, and he put it next to the kevish on the floor. Good. Afanan amitini. It says the pasuk al b'sorei mata maloimer yilbash. What's bothering the Gemara? What's bothering the Gemara is that there's an extra word yilbash in this pasuk. What extra word? The lavash akoyin. The kohen should wear midoy vad the ksoinis umechnasay vad and the mechnasayim. The pasuk could continue on.
Al b'saray.
Why did it say yilbash? He should wear. I already said he should wear. What do you think he's going to do with mechnasay vad? He's going to hang it out on the ceiling. The lavash akoyin midoy vad umechnasay vad al b'saray. Why does it mechnasay? He has to wear the midoy vad and he has to wear the mechnasayim. The word wear, it's wearing us out. Having this second time the word there, and we're weary of it. Exactly. That you don't have to have the mitzvah of Avner because the Torah doesn't refer to those two. He only refers to the Mechlesayim and the Ksoinis. That's why you have the extra Yilbash. No, it's mitzvah of Avner as well. Dibur Rabbi Yehuda.
So we still don't know why that extra glove is.
Now we do know, the Yilbash comes to tell us don't just wear. Two begadim, you got to wear four begadim.
How could we ever entertain that you'd have less than arba begadim?
Because I would think that trumas hazeshen is not an avoider. It's just a requirement, and not an avoider. Kamash malan. That's Yilbash comes to say you all four. Reb Doyis Oimer lohavi big de koyin gadol biyom mikipurim sheink shaven lekoyin hedget. That if the Kohen Hedget is missing his begadim for whatever reason, he goes to Pinchas HaMalbish and he says, I need begadim. He says, what's your size? Extra large. No extra large today, sorry. All of the other Batei Av people, all are extra large. It's all, I mean, that doesn't fit. It's got to be Midoivad. Oh, what about that Kabiholu? Those are the begadim of the Kohen Gadol. Well, the Kohen Gadol is big. By definition, he's a Kohen Gadol. So the extra large is going to fit me. Can the Kohen Hedget wear those begadim? Says Reb Doisi, yes, that's what I learned from the word Yilbash. Not only can he wear his regular big day kahuna of the Kohen Hedget, but he can wear the four big day lovin' that the Kohen Gadol wears on Yom Kippur. Those are all to kosher. I'm sorry?
Yilbash?
That's what Reb Doisi learned from Yilbash.
You mean from the double Yilbash or just
from the extra word Yilbash?
Okay, all right.
And during the not your kip, but a person could do with you without the begadim.
You always need four begadim.
No, I'm telling you. So you say a lot of tradition. So me, so maybe that your kip is different than during here.
I'm not sure. I'm
following. How would it be different?
I'm sorry.
Says the machloek is what you do with the word Yilbash. According to Yehuda, it comes to include the extra two big begadim which are not enumerated expressly in the Torah. Mitzvah is the Avnei. Or Reb Doisi says it comes to include that a Kohen Hedget is allowed to go and wear the big day kahuna of the Kohen Gadol.
Is the W Yilbash in
the big day lovin?
Or is it
the Arba begadim, the big day lovin?
Is the two Yilbashes, Yilbashim, in a row, are they in the Pshat of the Torah or are they?
In the pasuk.
Okay, so
don't be interested.
I believe you.
No, I don't. You don't believe. Yeah. I can tell you. Mm-hmm. We're going to lay in this mitzvah tomorrow morning.
Yeah, you better get a friend.
Absolutely. I made a mistake. We're not going to lay in it tomorrow. We'll lay in a few parshas.
That's
the question is why do you have to say both? Lovash means he's going to wear. The coin is going to wear midevad, and he's going to wear mechlesayim. So why do you have to say yilbash?
Lovash
akoyin midevad or mechlesayvad.
But what is the verb refer? What subject is the verb referring to? Which?
Oh, that's the machloikis. You put your finger on it.
Literally,
according to the first man, the Yama, literally exactly the word yilbash comes to tell you not only the midevad. And the Mechlesevad, but also the Avnet, as well as the Migbas, which the Torah doesn't mention. I know you don't see
that.
That's what this the Gemara comes to tell us. But Reb Doisi said, no, the Gemara is not, the Pasuk is not coming to tell us that. It comes to tell us that the Kohen Hedget can wear, if he wants to, the Begodim of the Kohen Gadol, the Big Day Lovin. Now, if you're saying to yourself, big deal, what's the big Chiddush? It is a big Chiddush, because we're going to have it another few lines that the Pasuk says, V'hinicham Sham. That after the Kohen Gadol was finished doing the Avodah on Yom Kippur, he leaves them there, and according to one man, the Yom, that means the Tu'unim Gniza. You got to put it away like in Sheamus, never to use again, ever. Reb Doisi disagrees. Reb Doisi says you can use it again. We're gonna have another few lines. Izokti Yemara Rabbi Yoimishtei Chuvas Bedavid. So Rabbi respectfully disagrees with Reb Doisa. Remember, Reb Doisa uses the Yilbash to tell you that the Kohen Hedjot can use the Kohen Gadol to God him. And he says, Chuvas Bedavid, I have two questions. How can he possibly talk about the Kohen Hedjot using the Kohen Gadol? Avnei, they are two different avneitim. Why are they two different avneitim? Because the Kohen Gadol's Avnei and Yom Kippur is made out of Bad. That says Avnei Bad Yachkar. And obviously Rebbe holds, like Rebbe said earlier, Rebbe's the one that holds that the Kohen Hedjot's Avnei was made out of Shatnez. So they're two different ones. How can the Kohen Hedjot say, I'm going to just, Kohen Gadol, don't be upset, I'm just going to go and borrow your Begadim, I'm going to give it back. He can't use those Begadim. He can use three out of the four, but he can't use the Avnei. These begotten were used yesterday or 6 months ago on Yom Kippur for the highest functioning kedusha throughout the year, to go lefnai v'lefnim with the ktoiris and to go and do hazois lefnai v'lefnim. These kodesh kedusha begotten are going to be worn by a kohen hedjot to do a regular avoida. It's like an inyan of malam kodesh v'lei merin type of svar. We're going to talk about if you just wait one more line.
Okay.
You know what? Yilbash comes to tell you the Rambam is a shchokim. Shchokim means begodim that are not brand new, that are already worn out. They're not torn, chas v'shalom. If they're torn, they're disqualified. They're tattered, torn, no good. But they happen to be worn out. Of course, we're talking about wearing them. If you wear and wear and wear, they get worn out. Okay, so what happens? The Rabbi says shchokim to go and add shchokim can also be used. Grada Rashi says, I heard a pshat that one should davke use shchokim. Why? Because we have the famous Chazal that Chazal tell us that begodim shebishel ben kedera l'rabbi l'yimzik behem kois l'rabbi. If you have a chef inside the kitchen who has now grease all over his apron, he should not go out and be the waiter that serves on the tables, because people, it'll look a little bit, you know, repulsive.
Shmutzik.
So the same thing over here, since he's doing the Truma Sadashin, his begodim might get a little dirty. So let him use some soup.
I wouldn't trust a chef that didn't have dirty clothes.
Okay. Anyway, the Rabbi is a shchokim. Rashi doesn't like the pshat, but that's a pshat that Rashi brings. The Azra Reb Doisa Letame, and Reb Doisa, who disagrees, goes Lishitosai, Disanya. And now we're going to bring up the point that Brother Shai brought up a moment ago. The sign it says at the end of the Avodah Yom Kippur, which we're going to lay in a Miyat Shem tomorrow, ufashat as big the habodah shalavash bevoy elakodesh, he takes him off. He's going to leave it there. What does it mean he's going to leave it there? Nobody else should ever use these begadim. Not this Kohen Gadol next Yom Kippur, and not a Kohen Hedjot throughout the year. Geniza, never use it again. But Reb Doisa goes Lishitosa. Reb Doisa, I mean, no. Shlishtamish ben Yom Kippur, acher. The same Kohen Gadol should not use it, or a different Kohen Gadol, don't use it next year. But during the year, you can use it, no problem. Have a wonderful day, and good Shabbos. All the best to your brother, Shine.
To the master.
Okay. Zokti Marsa. Bottom line is, as you can tell, we have numerous brises that the Gemara brought to try to identify that, in fact, it's a big machlokes tanoim, what was the composition of the avneit of the Kohen Hedjot throughout the year. So anybody who stops you in the street and asks you, tell me, remind me again, what was the avneit of the Kohen Hedjot made out of during the year? You'll tell them it's a machlokes. Mm. One man, the Amar, holds that it was made out of shatnez. The other one says it was pure linen. Tana Rabban, Ira by Psul. We have now the Kohen Gadol, unfortunately, he did get a psul. He became Tomei, whatever it was. And now we have a backup, the standby, and he's going to go and stand by today and do the avodah. Now Yom Kippur is over, the first Kohen Gadol, Baruch Hashem, is back to normal, and now he is being reinstated into his full position as Kohen Gadol. What happens with that standby? So we can have a machlokes. The real normal Kohen Gadol, he goes back to the Avodah. The Sheni, the backup, he has all of the dinim that apply to a Kohen Gadol. So you're asking, what do you mean by all the dinim? Says Rashi on the third wide line. Again, we're going to lay in this beginning of Parshas Emor, all the rules and regulations affecting Kohanim Gedolim, loy ferea v'loy foyre, meinem etam lekroivim, muzer alu almona, misham b'shmoinim begodim. In other words, he has the status of a full-fledged Kohen Gadol, just like the regular Kohen Gadol. Tiv Remeh. But Rabbi Yosi Omer Rishon Chayz Lafadosai, the first one of Ada Kohen Gadol, Shaini and the Roy Loy the Kohen Gadol Kohen Hedid, he is Nebuch in limbo. He cannot be the Kohen Gadol and he cannot be a Kohen Hedid. And in fact, Omer Rabbi Yosi Maas Rabbi Yosi Ben Elam, the famous Yosi Ben Elam, had a story. Betzipori Sheira Boy Psul the Kohen Gadol Uminuhu Tachtav, and they appointed Yosi Ben Elam as the replacement. V'yamru Chachamim. After Yom Tov was over, they told him, "Rishon Chayz Lavadasi Sheni and Roy Loy the Kohen Gadol can hedge it. He can't do either one. Why not? Kohen Gadol Mishum Eva, because unfortunately then there's going to be friction between the Kohen Gadol and the standby. And the Kohen Gadol says, who are you? Just because of Nebuch on Yom Kippur I became possible, all of a sudden you wear the Shemayna Begadol and you also want to be a Kohen Gadol. That misty. Nobody would even look at you. Just unfortunately I became Tamei, I touched the dead chariot. What do you want from me? So therefore, Eva is going to cause a lot of friction. Kohen Hedjit Mishamal Mekodesh Lemarin. Until now, it was Kohen Gadol. Now to downgrade him and make him into Kohen Hedjit, we can't do that. So therefore, he can't do either. So how do we paskin on all of this? Does the second one have the status of a Kohen Gadol, or is it Eina Loi Kohen Gadol Loi Kohen Hedjit? Or Rabbi Chana, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Paslik, Rabbi Yosi, he can't do either. However, Moed Rabbi Yosi, Shem Ovar, the Ovad, if he went and did the avoida wearing the shmoina begodim avidosik sheira, because the truth of the matter is
he is a kohen gadol.
He is a kohen gadol. We just
he's suspended.
We suspend him. We don't want him to function as a kohen gadol to eliminate potential competition and friction. But really, he's a kohen gadol.
Could he serve the next year? Obviously, he's. I mean,
why not? He would be the best candidate.
Exactly.
However, what happens if this kohen gadol wants to do avoida by wearing the begodim of the kohen hedjit, wearing four begodim? Says Rashi, no, he cannot do that. That's Rashi here on the Amud Beis. Back in the Amud Beis, you see the third line. For the Kohen Gadol, this standby to now we are four begotten. You're a Kohen Gadol. How can you go wear four begotten? So Avodasik Sheira, only if he wears the Shmoina begotten. What happens eventually when the first Kohen Gadol passes away? Until and unless they appoint a new one, and then the number two, he can temporarily fulfill and fill these shoes and be the Kohen Gadol. That's a double portion. He's a Kohen Gadol. I would think that maybe the halacha of Rabbi Yosi goes so far that we don't even allow him to do avodas Kohen Gadol post mortem, even after the first Kohen Gadol passes away. Why? Because he's going to be Eva. The first Kohen Gadol is going to say to the second Kohen Gadol, I know what you have in mind every day in Shema Kolenu and Shema Nesrei. You're constantly hoping.
Like those guys in the Ari Miklat, when's this guy going to pass away so we can.
Exactly. When is the first Kohen Gadol going to pass away and then I'm going to become the Kohen Gadol? And therefore, because of that Eva, we should even paralyze him. We should passel him, even Lachamisa. Kamash Malan know that he's going to be the replacement Kohen Gadol until we have a new one. Yes.
Well, if you like to do it,